Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we're doing a live show from Appleton, Wisconsin. Always lively, the live shows. I think that's the audience. We'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. We got all the stuff coming your way that you normally expect on a live show. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Well, if you own, if you rent, well, those are your two options, really, when it comes to home. And then there's your automotive policy. How about you bundle them up? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save. Geico makes it easy to save when you bundle at geico.com.
Get ready, coming to Podcast One, it's the Kelly Osbourne and Jeff Beecher Show.
Oh my God, do you remember opening night when Mick Jagger crawled out on his hands and knees because someone turned on the smoke machine and that was broken and the whole club almost got evacuated?
Little your accent, you're like, oh no, Mick Jagger.
Continuing the Osbourne tradition, host Kelly Osbourne.
There are days where I wake up and I think that I'm wonderful and I love myself.
Bringing a fresh dose of truth.
And there are days that you wake up and you feel like you're not good enough to even walk out of the door.
Joins best friend and Beecher's Madhouse creator, Jeff Beecher.
For everyone that listens, you're never stopping fixing your head. It's a constant work. It's just like exercising.
In a raw, real, and crazy, unforgettable podcast.
The whole thing for me with this was, you're so right, Jeff, was like we had to fix our heads because we were both insane.
Timmy was a hoarder. Do you know about this, Donnie?
Yeah, I heard the story.
They let him live in the Hard Rock, and he wouldn't stop eating off the room service plates outside the people's table.
Oh my God, that's sad.
Subscribe and download on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skyline Comedy Club in Appleton, Wisconsin. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Cesario. With Gina Grant on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, plus a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, here to drown his sorrows in cheese curds and beer,
to get it on. No choice but to get on, man, to get it on. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in and hanging out and coming out to the show tonight. Oh, let's see. I left LAX at 8 a.m. this morning. Here's an interesting thing. Maybe you shouldn't live in a town that I can't get to directly. Something to think about. For me. You're pretty fucking selfish living in one of these towns where I go, Appleton, Wisconsin, where the fuck is that? And someone goes, well, you have to take three flights and a camel, and then you have to get in the back of a steak bed truck and sit on a bale of hay in order to get there. And then I go, how much money are they paying me? And then I make my decision. Yeah, that's how we do it. There is no way to get to from Los Angeles to Appleton, Wisconsin. There is probably a good way. I don't know if you were in like Appleton to get to another part of Appleton, but I don't think you could get to Appleton from anywhere else without multiple flights. So I left Malibu, California this morning at about 6:15, drove to LAX. LAX was completely and utterly packed, as crowded as I've ever seen it. I drove in to do the parking. Guys ever park at an airport? Parking at an airport is like you park your car on a Friday, you pick it up on a Sunday, and when you're pulling out to pay, they go, that'll be 121 days. And you go, What? I pulled in on a Friday, and now it's Sunday. They go, yeah, 9 days. You go, the fuck? And they go, well, we do it every... We do it in 40-minute blocks. So anyway, I pulled into LAX, had an 8 a.m. flight out of LAX, flying Delta to Minneapolis, and then Minneapolis to... They don't even know Appleton exists, by the way. I was in Minneapolis. I was like, I got to catch a flight. And they were like, yeah, you're going to catch a connection flight, too. We don't fucking know, but... It's a super small jet, but go ahead. It's funny, super small jets, if you're flying a super small jet privately, you're super excited. And if you're flying it commercially, you're super bummed out. I don't know what it is. It's not the size of the jet. So when you fly a small jet privately, there's six people on it. And when you fly a small jet... commercially, there's 66 people on it. It bumps you out. But anyway, I pulled into LAX at 7 a.m. It was completely packed. I drove all the way around. By the way, do you think we have this technology? When you pull into LAX, could they put a goddamn sign up that says all parking full? When you pull in, or do I have to go through the fucking charade, or as you guys would say, charade, of pulling in and going to every fucking parking lot inside LAX, only to find out that it's full when I actually get to the opening of the parking lot because there's three cones parked in front of the opening? Could somebody ascertain that and put it on a goddamn sign at the beginning of the airport so I wouldn't have to go through the... fucking dance of the retards while I pull into everyone and go, oh, this one's not open. Oh, this one's not open. I drove all the way through the airport at 7 a.m. Eventually got spit out the other side. I talked to Mike August, who was at the park, the place where you take the shuttle. All right, listen, I don't want to be an elitist, but I'm way too good for a shuttle. My shuttle days are behind me. I didn't work this hard to take a shuttle. But there's no place to park the car. There should be a service. LA is filled with illegals who just sell flowers and pineapples and bonsai trees and everything. There should be a thing where illegals just hang out at the airport and I just fucking pull up and go, Baltazar, I'm in a crazy rush. Here's the keys. Just fucking go wherever you want, but I'm back on Sunday. Go to Canada. I don't care. There's three quarters in the tank. I got a fucking half a breakfast burrito in the cup holder. Just fucking go sick, but be here at noon on Sunday. So I drove all the way around the airport, and then I drove out of the airport, and then I went to the parking structure that's out of the airport. And so it was so packed. I don't know, Chris, I'm looking at you. Why was LAX so packed this day?
I know. It felt like the holiday season when I was there. Like, you know, I was shoulder to shoulder. I have TSA pre-check, and that was even packed. Like, that took forever.
Yeah, everything was 100% packed. I then did that move where I drove out, and... the parking structure was packed, but you can always park on the roof. For some reason, no matter how packed a parking structure is, there's always ample parking on the roof for some reason. But you go up six stories with that dream, right? Like you're going up and you're like, oh, fuck, there's a pocket because there's a Suburban. And then someone's got a smart car parked next to a Suburban. You're like, fuck, there's an opening on the... Oh, fuck you and your fucking smart car. And then there's always that weird, not quite a parking spot, but maybe a parking spot. Like, the one on the corner. I could get into that. No. Drove all the way up, got to the roof. Now, I got an 8 a.m. flight. It's 7:15, and I'm still in my goddamn car going to the roof of a building that's not even near LAX. Get to the roof, park, staircase. I got to tell you, the staircase in one of those parking structures, so much easier going down. Going up is fucking the baton death march. You know, you got your fucking bag in your back, like, oh, I need to hydrate. Going down is like, woo, I hope this never ends. Even though there's a lot of urine. What? I don't know what it is with homeless people or just traveling people. They're like, I got to piss. I'm convinced there's so much urine in those stairwells next to the parking structure. I don't think it's all homeless. I think there's some like gainfully employed people that are in nearby apartments. They're like, I got to take a piss. I'm going to the homeless structure. The parking structure, sir. The bathroom's right here, son. No, I'm going to go piss on the metal stairs where I can ride them out. So you go down, get to the piss, go to the shuttle. Now I got in the shuttle. The shuttle's a weird job. Does anyone here drive a shuttle? It's a weird, it's like, you don't quite, it's not Uber. It's not an 18-wheeler. It's kind of like, not really ambitious enough to drive a real truck, but I am going to drive this thing. Unclear what the rules are in the shuttle. Can you stand? Do you have to sit? Do you tip? How does it work? Unclear. You go in. The shuttle driver, by the way, there's a sweet spot for shuttle drivers. Shuttle drivers are never 75 and they're never 25. They're always like 58 and a half. It's just that one age. It's that one person who drives a shuttle. It's not, no one ever comes in and goes, wow, look at that young, hot shuttle driver. I'd like to get to know her better. There's no decrepit old shuttle drivers. It's like 53 to 62 and a half. That's the shuttle driver. Never morbidly obese, but never in shape. Then you get into the shuttle and there's that weird dance because your feeling is the second your ass hits the cushion in the shuttle, it's fucking time to leave, right? Here we go. You're the only one in the shuttle. I know. Going to Delta. Here we go. And then they hang around. They got to wait for everyone else to get on the shuttle. And then you got to size up everyone else who gets on the shuttle because you don't want them to be at an airline that's before your airline in the shuttle run, right? So it's like I'm on Delta. And I know Southwest is before Delta, so I don't want any fuckers coming on the shuttle going, we're going to Southwest. We got a lot of us. I got a steamer trunk. My wife's pulling it in the back. Then you sit there, get in the shuttle. Then when you're in a hurry, there's that thing. So now it's literally 7:25. We have an 8 a.m. flight to come to Appleton. We're sitting in traffic. This is always the you know you're late when you're in traffic and you're on the highway and you're bumper to bumper and you're stopped and you're not even in the airport yet and the person you're traveling with leans over and goes, we may have to get out here and make a run for it. Like you've essentially become Harrison Ford at this point. Like you're fucking on the lam. Like, it's like, we got to get out and we got to fucking run along this bridge before to get. So there's that move where you think you're going to speed it along. Like, I think I can control the pace of traffic if at a certain point I stand up. That's my move. Like, I'll get in the shuttle and I'll stand up and I go, okay, now we're going to get to Delta faster. We got to Delta right about right about 7:30, had an 8 o'clock flight. I called Chris. I did this move. The worst position you can ever be in. I called Chris and I go, hey, man, we're cutting it super close here. We're running late. Could you tell him to hold the plane?
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant by that.
I don't know either. I'm fucking helpless and I feel like I need to do something. You know what I mean? Like, tell him to hold the plane. We're coming. Tell him to hold the plane. So I called Chris and told him to hold the plane. And then if the plane leaves, I could yell at Chris. What the fuck? What part of hold the plane don't you understand? You fucking burst into the cockpit, you grab the yoke, and you tell him we're not going anywhere until the Ace Man shows up.
You should have been that specific when you told me, because I was coming up with all these different scenarios.
So he told me what gate they were at. We got to clear. And you guys in clear? Yeah. Oh, good. Right up front. Say, this guy travels with me. I was having him go. Yeah, playing him in the audience. Ago. Anyone in clear over here? Hey. Yeah. Clear was all fucking backed up. Have to do the weird. I know. I've never had the clear. Never had the clear. That's where you do the eye scan and everything and backed up. And clear's kind of interesting. Clear is something that you sign up for and it's like a prepaid thing. And you get the, you don't have to take the shoes off and get the magnetic wand shoved up your ass and all that stuff. You get to go through with dignity, and they're nice, by the way. They're friendly at Clear versus the normal folks that work at LAX who are basically, I'd say that the people at LAX were, the security at LAX is kind of like the jurors on the OJ trial, which is basically, okay, Whitey, it's payback time now. Oh, fuck yeah. I don't give a fuck if he cut her head off. It's fucking payback time. Well, feels that way. I was going through LAX once, and I had a freshly minted Starbucks latte, and I was doing that thing where I was like at the front, you know, the part where you check your ID at the front of the line, but then you go all the way through the line and then you get to the metal detector and everything. I was at the check the ID part, and the OJ juror was there. And she goes, you want to throw away that coffee here? And I said, no, it's brand new. I'll drink it in line and then I'll throw it away before I go through the metal detector. She goes, you should throw it away here. And I go, yeah, well, it's I don't have to throw it away here, right? I can go in line, and then I'll throw it away when I get to the end of the line before I go through the metal detector. She goes, just throw it away. And I go, I don't think I want to do that. And she literally goes, fine, go on, get. She yelled, get. Like if she had a shotgun, she would have pumped it. Go on, get! She treated me like a fucking, I was fucking the farmer's daughter, and he come running out in a bathrobe, fired a fucking warning shot with rock salt. Go on, get! I was like, okay, I'll get. Maybe not the person you want at the very tip of the spear here, checking ID. Oh, by the way, speaking of your fair city. Well, not your city, but Green Bay. Yeah, fuck those guys. Yeah, the Appleton Comets are so much better than those Packers. You guys have a team? That is your fucking team. Knock it off. Believe me, I'm from Los Angeles. You're all just from Green Bay. We don't break you off into separate cities. I do remember coming to Wisconsin, God, over 20 years ago with Dr. Drew. Yeah. And we were playing a college. I don't know what fucking college. We're going all over the place, but we're playing Whitewater. We're playing Whitewater. Yeah, there you go. And And we were playing at Whitewater, and but you know, we're both from Los Angeles, and we're both from Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is the scariest, dirtiest, shittiest place in the world. And then Los Angeles is bad enough, but if you ever go to a gas station in Los Angeles, it's really like you've just fallen into Al-Qaeda's headquarters. Like, it is, Los Angeles is bad enough, and then there's gas stations in Los Angeles. And they're all run by scary guys from some part of the Middle East that we're having an endless war in right now. And you go in there and you want to, first off, you have to talk to everyone through 7 inches of Lexan. You know, you go, could I have the fun size Snickers bar? What this? You know, and you go, the Snickers bar. No, cannot. You know, and you go, fuck. The squeegee container's out of sudsy water. I'll stab you. So sorry. It's fucking the worst place. The gas stations in Los Angeles are manned with the scariest foreigners on the planet who just have contempt for their customers. But when Drew and I were playing Whitewater, wherever we're playing, and we're driving through Wisconsin or something, I don't know where we're going, to another college, at some point we stopped at a gas station to use the bathroom, and there was a chunky blonde-haired chick behind the counter with like rosy cheeks. She's like, "Hi, y'all!" And we're like, "Is this a trick?" And we're like, "We don't. We want to use the bathroom." And she's like, "Oh, good. Just go right down there. Just take a shit. Don't flush. It's good. I'll pull it out of my hands." Drew and I are both from Los Angeles, and we're like, "We don't have to buy $70 worth of jerky." And they're like, "No, use the bathroom. Shit on the floor, I'll clean it." We were both completely freaked out when we walked out of that place. Wow, am I 20 minutes into this thing? Jesus Christ. All right, we should start the show then, right? Yeah. Insane. We got a water up here, Maxipana? We'll find one. Where's my clock, Maxipana? Oh, the clock. Oh, well, talk about your trials and tribulations, and then we'll start the show. Sorry.
Oh, so we had connecting flights. We went into Minneapolis and then obviously to here. And when my bag went down the carousel at check-in, the box with all of our gear was open. So it was missing its lid, and it was half full. I'll be optimistic in some way. But
the lid was ripped off, right?
Yeah, it was ripped off, and half the gear was gone. So we're missing a lot of gear today.
All right. And when one of it is...
It's your clock.
The gear we're missing is the clock. So our travel case that Chris dutifully packs was... what do you think? You can't get the lid off that without opening it up, right?
You can't. I mean, there are four latches. It just didn't look like they put it on back, or they put it back on when they went through it.
Right.
Because they always go through it.
They go through it.
Every time, 100% chance.
So they didn't, they went through it, security.
Yeah.
The OJ jurors. That's our code over here, Appleton. And they went through it, and they probably didn't latch it correctly.
Yeah, what's weird is it when it rolled in, it was like it has this foam, the cutout foam that you put everything in. It was perfectly placed on top as if that was the lid. And then right. I asked, "Where's the lid?" And they went, "Oh, no, that's just how it came." And I went, "It was in the plane with the foam perfectly placed on top," but they didn't care.
All right,
they
so our clock is gone. What else is gone?
A camera, a recorder. Tripod, yeah, a lot of stuff. Probably about $1,000 worth of gear.
Awesome. All right, well, that's coming out of your pocket.
Yeah, I know.
That's on you. Oh, okay, I got water. Plane. Thanks. All right, shall we get started?
Yeah, let's. You want to bring in Gina and Brian and Jeff?
Yeah, let's bring in Gina, Brian, and Jeff. Let's still like to know what time it is.
I'll flash it.
Sorry.
It's time to rock.
Oh, we got a clock. Oh, sorry. We got someone up here with a clock, the guy who's clear. He's got a clock, too. It's 6:04 in Cupertino. It's 9:04 in New York City. It's 8:04 in Chicago. It's 3:04 in Honolulu. Is that Honolulu? And in Phoenix, it's 6:04. But I still don't know what fucking time it is in Appleton. Get Appleton on that goddamn clock. Oh, all right.
It's 8.
All right. I don't see these guys up on screen. Can you guys hear me? Gina?
We're here. There's a comical delay.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I hear we have bad internet. Jeff, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and it's a shockingly good connection for Appleton.
Jeff is from this area. Where are you from, Jeff, originally?
I'm from Kenosha, Wisconsin, which I believe is still on fire.
All right, so how's the delay? Is the delay functional, or can we... Oh, I see. I can see you guys now.
For the record, I answered you immediately.
All right, so let's try to figure out this delay and figure out if we can do this. I will say 3, 2, 1, and then you guys raise your hand when you hear the 1. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
This is going to be difficult.
In studio, we were Johnny on the spot.
You say Marco, we'll say Polo.
All right. Marco.
Polo.
All right, Chris, we're going to have to try to reboot them. And we'll figure this out. Sorry, guys.
Us? Reboot.
It's not us.
Reboot us.
Or reboot me or something. All right, we'll try to figure this out.
Quick break. Let me tell you about paintyourlife.com. Want to give a truly meaningful gift? Try paintyourlife.com. Professional hand-painted portraits created from any photo. A truly affordable price, by the way. You send in any picture of yourself, your children, your family, perhaps a Paul Newman race car, and or a special place you cherish, or how about a pet? Oh, yeah, so nice with the pets. And or you can combine photos, more than one photo, into one painting. You choose from a team of world-class artists, and you work with them on every detail, and when it's perfect, then it's going to arrive. User-friendly platform lets you order custom hand-painted portraits in less than 5 minutes, and you get it in about 3 weeks. It's really beautiful. They've done one for me. Again, it was my Paul Newman race car, but it's beautiful. Perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, wedding gifts. Am I right, Dawson?
At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word ADAM to 64000. That's ADAM to 64000. Text ADAM to 64000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply. Available at PaintYourLife.com/terms. Again, text ADAM to 64000.
Anyway... Don't you hate those shuttle vans? Damn. I mean, golly. Those vans, man. Ain't it a bitch? I did, Brian did remind me with his Marco Polo. I don't know if this is arrogant, but, you know, Marco Polo... First off, you guys, your kids play in the pool, Marco Polo, you know. I don't think Marco Polo's that relevant these days. I don't know if people notice. Like, if you talk to your average 9-year-old, right, and you said, who's Marco Polo? And you went, he's a 17th century explorer who opened the spice trade. They'd never say that, would they? Who the fuck is that guy? You know he was a racist, right? I mean, anyone who's older than 400 years old had to be a racist, right? I suggest that we replace Marco Polo with Adam Carolla. Well, let's update this shit, you know what I mean? Kids in the water. Adam!
Carolla!
Adam!
Carolla!
Fish out of water! See, it worked pretty well, right? The kids don't know who fucking Marco Polo is. I guarantee that guy's a racist. He probably was a misogynist. He probably had like a bunch of concubines. He was probably abusive to women. Yeah, tear down his fucking statue. If there's a Marco Polo statue, tear it down. Put up an Adam Carolla statue. Give the pigeons something to aim for. So, where was I? Oh.
In Appleton.
Got in a shuttle. Got that shuttle. Got off. Got to Clear. Had to wait in line in Clear. Clear's a very, like, Running Man. You know that part where they just want to scan your eyes? See if there's any evil lurking in there? Look at your eyes. And the thing about Clear is you'll notice that the people who work for Clear are nice, and everyone else at the airport is a colossal douche. And at a certain point, I said, why are the people from Clear nice and everyone else at the airport is a douche? And somebody told me, Clear is a private company. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's how it works. They have to compete for business. They have to work in the private sector. Everyone who works at the DMV is a colossal douchebag. But when you go into a Starbucks, people have to be nice, so you'll go across the street to the coffee, bean, and tea leaf. That's why we need competition, people. All right. Thank you. You guys, are we wide open here in Wisconsin? I'm from Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is like our governor and our mayor in Los Angeles, California. All they do is like, how can we fuck with people who pay taxes? And they're like, well, there's all these homeless people that are shitting everywhere. Yeah, yeah, they're heroes. I want to fuck with taxpayers. What can we do? They go, well, we got a pandemic. Good, good. What can we do with this pandemic? Well, how about we close down dining inside restaurants? Good, I like that. That's a way to fuck with taxpayers and small business owners. Ah, what if we close down outdoor dining after we tell them they can do outdoor dining and everyone builds a fucking tent? Because these guys are such fucking idiots. They're like, no indoor dining, only outdoor dining. And then everyone built a restaurant on the sidewalk. Everyone's like, all right, fine. We'll build a tent. We'll put skirts on it. We'll put fans and space heaters and everything in it. And everyone went out to the sidewalk. Then they said no outdoor dining. And then they said no going on the beach, no going to the park, no playing on swing sets. They literally welded up like basketball hoops. Which was kind of, they put bars over basketball hoops at the park. And that's cool, because I used to show up there with my son and go, well, I was going to do a fucking windmill dunk, but forget about it. Forget about it now. I'm going to hit my head on that piece of rebar that's going across the... So they closed everything down, and now they're opening shit up, but they got rules. The rules are like at Dodger Stadium. You can go to Dodger Stadium, and you can watch a baseball game at Dodger Stadium, which is outdoors, last time I checked. And you can sit together in a group of vaccinated people, but you have to wear a mask with vaccinated people in this group. But you can take your mask off if you're going to eat. By the way, what is this mask thing? Like, let's really break down the science of the mask. What if you were just spraying lacquer? What if somebody said, you're going to go into an automotive paint booth and you're going to spray lacquer? And you went like, okay, good, wear a mask. Yeah, here's a hot dog and three beers. You can just don't take the mask off when you're eating a hot dog. And you'd be like, we're in a fucking lacquer booth. Yeah, no, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. But here's some chips and some pretzel sticks. So go into the lacquer booth. Yeah. Wear the mask. It's super dangerous in the lacquer booth. You don't want to fuck your lungs up. Okay. Here's a fun-size sack of Cheetos. Well, how do I take the mask? Yeah, go ahead and take the mask off and eat your Cheetos, but then put it back on. I'm going to stand in the lacquer booth with you when you're spraying lacquer. When you take the mask off and eat Cheetos, I got no problem with that. But if you just take the mask off and yawn, I'm going to fucking yell at you to put the mask back on. Is that science? It's just science, right? You go through the airport. You can't cluster around anything. You need to keep your social distance. You need to keep 6 foot apart from everyone at the airport. Right. Except for the fucking baggage carousel where there's a throng of humanity all gathered in the same place. The place looked like the top of the embassy in Hanoi with the last chopper out in Vietnam. But other than that, we need social distancing. All right, so I got on a fucking airplane 7 hours ago, and the deal was like mass social distancing, except for when you get on the jetway and they tell everyone to get on the jetway together and everyone is just piled onto the jetway together. And then you get on the plane. God forbid you pull the thing down so you can goddamn breathe. I fog up my glasses. I got to breathe, man. I don't know. I'm a hot breather, a heavy breather. I'm a passionate man. So this science of you've got to wear a mask everywhere, but then as soon as you get on the flight, they hand you a sack of chips. They no longer feed you on airplanes anymore, right? They just give you this weird box of shit. Have you guys had this? Anyone try to fly first class? They give you a box. It's the size of a Kleenex box, and it's essentially like, it's like I hollowed out a Kleenex box, and I went, quick, run through your kitchen and find all the shit you don't want. And he went, oh, fuck, okay. I'll take my box. I'm sorry, I don't want to seem like an elitist, but the box I flew here with on Delta in first class had gummy bears in it. Can you imagine? You know what first class used to be? First class used to be a cart with lobsters on it. Now you get a fucking Kleenex box with gummy bears in it. It's like you're trick-or-treating at a retirement home. I would love to resurrect Frank Sinatra and bring him back today and go, hey, Frank, I got your first class ticket on Delta to Minneapolis from LA. And he'd be like, oh, good. I can enjoy a couple of blowjobs. And some beef Wellington? No, you get a small pack of Oreos and gummy bears. He would fucking choke a stewardess. He would have one of his guys kill a stewardess if he flew first class today. Ordered a drink. This thing we hide behind, the COVID thing has become an excuse for every business to not do shit they didn't want to do. It's a total fucking ruse now. I ordered a vodka soda. You guys know my pain. I go, give me a vodka soda. They go, okay. I go, give me vodka soda with lemon. Oh, we don't have lemon. I go, give me vodka soda with lime. Yeah, we don't have lime. Why not? Well, COVID. Yeah. Because you guys all know everyone who ate some lemon and then died of COVID-19. Like, just fucking admit you don't want to do your shit anymore, Delta Airline. By the way, I got this one from the stewardess or whatever we have to call her these days. I don't know, the flight attendant. Everything's so noble. I like when they explain to you what could be. I go, no lemon? No. No lime? By the way, vodka and soda just taste like fucking toilet water with booze in it, minus the lemon and the lime. Oh, wait a minute. She goes, yeah, we don't have lemon. We don't have lime. It's a COVID thing. Okay, yeah, you're right. The plane couldn't take off if you had a fucking small cup of cut-up limes in that galley. I get it. It's a safety thing. And then she goes, this is the part that drives me nuts. She goes, I had somebody tell me they have like the little lemon packets of juice. Like there's even a little lemon powder thing. And I was like, yeah, that'd be super hypothetically awesome if you packed that shit, baby. And she's like, yeah, I've just heard about it. Yeah, that's awesome. I heard about taking a flight once where the stewardess wasn't a lazy cunt. Maybe it's just a wives tale. Could have been hearsay. I don't know. So we got to hypothetically talk about what could be in my drink, but of course, it's not on the plane. I actually wrote down a few things that were in the box. There are two box options. There were the bistro box that came with the gummy bears. And I kid you not, gummy bears, Oreos, two Oreos, and a meat stick, and I wrote it down, that was labeled snack stick. wouldn't commit to jerky. Was like literally like, should we call it jerky? No, we can't call it jerky. We'll be sued. We'll just call it a stick. We'll put the word snack in front of it. Snack stick. It was a fucking box that had snack sticks and gummy bears and two Oreos. And I was sitting in there. Mike was sitting next to me. And I turned to Mike and I said, those fucking kids at the border in cages with the foil blankets, they got a better box than we did. Their box is definitely a fucking upgrade than this fucking box in first class. At least they get Kamala Harris's book. They get some light reading in their cage. I was like, if they fucking handed these boxes out to those 9-year-old Guatemalans at the border, they'd set the fucking facility on fire. Should we bring our, how's our, is it working?
I haven't found a quicker connection, but let me see if I can get them back on.
All right, let's see. Hi, guy. Oh, I should tell you, I found the best movie to watch on a flight without sound. Mike always watches movies without the sound. So he sits next to me. You guys tell me if I have low self-esteem. I sit in my seat. I don't put a movie on my screen. I watch the movie that Mike is watching on his screen next to me with no sound while simultaneously watching the person's movie who's one row ahead of me through the opening in the seats. Because I'm curious what they're watching. Mike was watching the number one movie to watch with no sound, which is Vin Diesel's Bloodshot. You know everything you need to know about that movie. You do not need any sound. He was like a Navy SEAL. He got shot, then he got in, and he got experiment or whatever. And then I said to Mike, I go, Mike, you're watching Bloodshot with no sound. And he goes, oh, it's better with no sound. And then at some point, he plugged in the earbuds, but he never put them in his ears. He's that defiant. He's that committed to watching movies on flights with no sound. All right, shall we try this, Max Pat, and see if it works?
I just need another minute. I'm rebooting on their end, so they're letting me back in the meeting. I think we can.
Okay.
All right, quick break to tell you about my friends over at Headspace. If you've got 10 minutes, you can change your life. Headspace, it's a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of a guided meditation in an easy-to-use app. Oh, they have many meditations. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation. Need help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions. Parents, Headspace has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Boy, we need this more than ever, people. Reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, increase your overall sense of well-being. It is so important that you take the time to get your head right, especially all that's going on in this world. Backed by 25 studies, 600 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. It's Headspace, right, Dawson?
You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to Headspace.com/Adam. That's Headspace.com/Adam for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to Headspace.com/Adam today.
And now back to the show.
So I will, I'll keep going here. So
I think I got him. Let me
see. You think you got him?
Yeah, let's see. Guys, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Brother. Hey, sorry, we weren't on a smoke break.
No, we can hear you.
All right, should we try?
How's that?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh.
Try to figure out the
Brian, hop on here.
About a 3-second delay.
All right, right. We'll try this again. Marco.
Corolla.
Polo.
All right. Listen, I don't think it's going to work.
How about this, though?
And now you're freezing as well.
We can give it over to Chet for a couple minutes if you want to do that.
We could do Chet Waterhouse.
We don't need a... That's not a call and response thing.
That's coming. Technical snafu.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother! Time for the Waterhouse update brought to you by Teslam. Elon Musk's new religion. NFL news. Looks like MVP quarterback Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay, the only publicly owned franchise in major sports. Or as Sean Hannity put it, socialism fails. Rumor has it Rodgers wants to permanently host Jeopardy. Said the Packers will take "We did not see this coming at all" for $50 million, Aaron. The Packers now trying to trade Rodgers to the Price is Right for Drew Carey and a wine fridge from Danby. The NFL draft once again showed how much people should truly be paid to live in Buffalo, New York. That item sponsored by Minestrone, the minestrone without any vegetables. Kentucky Derby won by Medina Spirit, who will go to stud after a quick stop at the Hazelden Clinic in Minnesota. Derby was the biggest event since the CDC loosened restrictions. Nothing like a giant fruit salad hat to keep that COVID trapped tight on your face. America's pastime? No, not making avocado toast. Baseball! Dodgers are in a losing streak so bad, Florida Democrats said, oh, you are getting your ass kicked. Sponsored by Tingles, the potato chip that comes in a can, shaped like a dildo. NBA! In the power rankings, the Phoenix Suns are now number one. Like a fat German in a hot tub, they just keep coming at you. Boxing! YouTube star Logan Paul set to fight real boxer Floyd Mayweather. Said Paul, wait, he's a real boxer? I thought he just played a boxer on TikTok. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 2018, the place Sheffield, England. Welshman Mark Williams wins the World Snooker Championship and, as promised, does his press conference in the nude. Nothing controversial until he chalked his own cue. This Waterhouse Update brought to you by ShareCuts. Three customers, one stylist, one-third the price. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be in France calling the Tour de Ecknarf. That's the Tour de France pedaled backwards. Sponsored by Advocats. Finally, cats who will fight for you. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse.
The great Jeff Cesario. All right, guys. I don't think it's going to work technically, so you guys can call it an early night, and I will bring up... I know. We love him, but with a five-second delay, I don't think we can pull it off, but we can pull
Polo!
Up. We can pull up our ball puller, Tyler, here. And Tyler can come up, and we can do unprepared and pull some balls up here if we see fit. Is Tyler here? Tyler, come on up. Oh, you okay, Tyler? All right. Tyler's got a microphone. Tyler is dressed in a...
How's it going? Whoa.
Yeah, good. All right, Tyler, what's your story?
I'm from Milwaukee, been a fan for about 6 years. Started listening when I was an intern at a big industrial automation company down there.
What kind of company?
Industrial automation.
Industrial automation. That sounds like you work for the CIA and you're in deep cover and you just have that fucking story. It doesn't really sound like a job.
He knows too much.
Yes, I remember once right after 9/11. Remember air marshals? You guys remember air marshals? And my thing about the air marshal is they had to dress like civilians because you couldn't spot them. Like if you were like Al Qaeda or some terrorist organization, you couldn't spot the air marshal. But he really would always be the only guy on the plane wearing a suede vest with a star on it. But no, there's a guy sitting next to me in first class, like right after 9/11. He looked like he'd never wore a suit in his life. You know those guys, you see them at the high school reunion, you see them at the weddings, you see them at the funeral, they're wearing a suit, they're fucking struggling with it. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, I hate this. They're like the guys who are in court who've got the tattoo on their neck, but they're wearing the suit. And I was just sitting next to him on the flight, and I go, what do you do for a living? And he goes, I'm a businessman. And I go, okay. What kind of business? And he goes, fuck it, I'm an air marshal, okay? You got me. He's like, hey, buddy, I don't call that deep cover. Like, you got to get your fucking rap down just a little bit deeper than businessman, because there may be a follow-up question, and you can't crack and yell air marshal at that point. So you do industrial building mechanical stuff.
Electronical stuff.
Electronic stuff. All right. And how did we find you?
I emailed the show.
You emailed the show? That's the vetting process?
It's the whole thing.
We need higher standards, Chris.
Well, we'll take a quick break so I can tell you about some of our friends like LifeLock. A survey showed couples often share passwords in their first 6 months of dating, putting them at risk if their relationship ends. Your ex could still have your login information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
And now back to the show.
All right, Tyler, you want to pull a ball out of there? Now, I think you do it, I don't know, clockwise or counter. There you go. There you go. It rarely works, but it did today. This show is a...
Oh, conservative.
Conservative? Yeah, okay. Conservative. When did conservative become a bad thing? You know what I mean? Like, when I grew up... The guy was conservative. It meant you fucking saved some money. It meant you pulled out when you're fucking your 17-year-old girlfriend because you didn't want kids yet, because you didn't have a job. It meant you had car insurance. It meant that you would have a couple of beers, but if you're going to drive, you wouldn't do a 12-pack of Mickey's Big Mouth. Conservative meant responsible. It meant sober. It meant you had some money tucked away for a rainy day. It meant you had medical and dental insurance. Conservative. It was a good thing. And now you're fucking evil. Now, conservative used to mean I save money. Now it means I hate Mexicans. When did the fucking Democrats rework conservative to, oh yeah, I hate anyone gay, I hate lesbians, I hate black people, I hate Mexicans, I don't want any of those people to vote ever? How do they fucking take conservative, which used to be a quality that you wished for your fucking kids? You would hope that your kids were conservative. He wouldn't eat the entire can of SpaghettiOs. He would eat half the can of SpaghettiOs and save the rest for his sister because he was conservative. Now, he's the guy who eats all the SpaghettiOs and hates black women. And we just sat around and let those fucking Democrats do that to us. We just went like, oh, okay, I guess I'm a racist. Fuck that. Conservative is a good thing. And by the way, if you don't think it's a good thing, what is the opposite of conservative? Out of control on bath salts. That's the opposite. Would you... Nobody ever says, oh, how's your son doing? He's good. He's conservative. He's living under a bridge and blowing dudes so he can score money for fentanyl. He's conservative, yeah. He sucks. I mean, he'll eat pussy for fentanyl, but there's not so much of that business. Mostly sucking dudes up, and he's conservative. You want to know what bridge he's living under? You can say hi to him. He's a conservative guy. Are there conservative people living and shitting in the street? Are the conservative people burning down fucking cop stations? Are the conservative fucking people who are punching cops' horses and fighting in the streets? Is this the realm of the conservative? What the fuck? If the conservative behavior is good, why don't we want more people to be conservative? If you think about it, wouldn't this be a better place if more people were conservative? I don't know any... my conservative son, he's trying to cheat the state. He's doing a welfare scam. He's a conservative guy. He's got 19 kids out of wedlock. Conservative. He puts gin in his Powerade at noon on Tuesdays. He's a conservative guy. He drives erratically, fights with cops, and... right now he's not paying rent because of the whole COVID thing, and he's suing the person who owns the building. He's a conservative guy. He's a conservative. Conservative guy. When did conservative become a fucking bad thing? I like fucking conservative people. I'm an atheist. I like conservative people. They're better neighbors. They're better classmates. They tend to pay their taxes. They tend to fucking get in line and pay attention to the rules. I like conservative people, and so we should have more conservative people, and people shouldn't worry. It's conservative. It's not pedophile. You don't have to worry about it. They have to go like, socially, fuck that. Just say you're conservative. You have fucking kids. You raise them. You love your family. You pay attention to God every once in a while. Not all the time. You got a gun. You haven't used it in a crime, but the day is young. You are conservative. Thank you. All right, so.
BIPOC.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
Is that one of them Korean boy bands?
I believe it stands for Black Indigenous People of Color.
It's wait a minute. It's what again? It's
Black and Indigenous People of Color. All the millennials.
Oh God! How many fucking groups? How many groups can we break this country into? Can't just fucking be an American. Oh no, that'll never do. If I have to hear someone else do their preface for their statement of, I'm always like, here's my new policy. If I talk to some chick and she's like, as an indigenous American bipolar, fuck you, cunt, I'm leaving. I don't want to fucking hear your as of. No one gives a fuck as by the way. This whole thing, this sort of notion that we give a shit, it's such a fucking ruse. We all pretend, you know what I mean? We all pretend like, we don't give a fuck. This is America. Show up, get the fuck to work, and shut up. And then it's always funny when Whitey tries to get into the act, because Whitey will try to get into the act every once in a while. They go, my grandfather came here from Ireland with nothing but horse shit in his pockets. Right, but you own a fleet of 18-wheelers now. I know. My grandfather came here. He was called a Mick. They spat on him. I know, but you shit into a golden toilet now. Yeah, I know, but let's not. My grandfather. I would say, Rich Whitey, we should only get to go back to our parents. We can't go further back than that. You know what I mean? We can't go like, my great, great, great grandfather was sacrificed at Stonehenge. just doesn't work. Just go back to what losers your parents were, and that'll that'll be enough. It is funny. I just came out with this PragerU video telling everyone to get over this fucking privilege and white privilege, and it's not worth it. So, here's what I'm saying. I'm not a total racist. I'm, you know, just kind of. I have like a dusting of racism. Like, no, but I mean, it's like it's a spectrum thing, like autism. Like, I'm not fully autistic, but, you know, I do some of the markers for autism, some of the markers for racism, not fully, not Klan, but just a dusting. It's on the spectrum. You know what I mean? You could probably get into the Navy or something like that, but not fly airplanes or something, but just a dusting of racism. But, okay, so here's the thing. Here's my take. Like, oh, is there, you know, do you have white privilege? What about racism? What's it mean if you're a woman? What's it mean if you're black? What's it mean if you're Hispanic? By the way, it was Mexican, then it was Chicano, then it was Hispanic, now it's Latinx. Fuck you guys with all that shit trying to coach me up every 10 minutes only so you can correct me. But it is what it fucking is. Like, this whole thing of, like, we have to dissect everything all the time. Is it racist? Is it an advantage to be black? Is it an advantage to be white? What about being a male? The fucking, who gives a fuck? The point is it is what it is. Now go out because the fucking sun is shining and make some goddamn hay unless you have suggestions to fix it. I think I was saying on the podcast, like, always talk about women. Oh, they're such a disadvantage to being a woman. You guys live 7 years longer, and you get a break on your auto insurance. So fucking cry me a river. What was it? Oh,
BIPOC.
And also, what... By the way, this thing, politicians, Biden's this way, Kamala Harris is this way, CNN is this way, this thing where we're going to take our country and break it off into warring tribes, does that ever turn out good? Do you know about history? Do you see any other nations, all these fucking places in the Middle East? It's like, well, I'll put it to you this way. When you go, like, what's going on in Iraq or what's going on in Afghanistan? You know what the number one fucking answer is? Here's the problem. There's no peace. There's this group and there's that group. And that group hates this group. And this group hates that group. And they can never fucking get along because they're blowing everything up all the time. So look no further than all the places that are having endless wars because there's this group, there's that group, then there's the other group. And the other group, and historically it works that way as well. When they go, what happened 200 years ago? Well, there was this group, and then there was that group. And then that group hated this group, and then they set the town on fire. Let's fucking not try to push that narrative in this country. Can we just be in one fucking group, for the love of Christ? United States, one group, white people, and everyone else, back off. It'd be a utopia. See you guys at the meeting between the show. Pull another ball there, Tyler? Don't worry, Tyler, you're in the group. Tyler, you are white for Wisconsin. You're not just white, you're Wisconsin white.
Translucent.
What's that?
Translucent.
Translucent. Yeah, you're almost clear. All right, let's do another one, Tyler.
We have laryngitis.
Laryngitis. Laryngitis. Now, I've never had my tonsils out. You guys had your tonsils out? I do... I love the idea that everyone needed to remove, they needed to have their tonsils removed. When I was a kid, everyone needed to have their tonsils removed. I never had my tonsils removed because would have cost money and would have meant that my parents would have to drive me somewhere. So those are the two things we didn't do. But imagine this. You remember what the big selling point for having your tonsils removed when you were young? You get to eat sherbet for 3 days. Okay, I'm going to perform invasive surgery on your throat, and in return, you'll get 2 scoops of gelato. Or I could just go to the fucking corner to the Ben and Jerry's. But think about this pitch. Like, when I was a kid, that was like a real thing. Like, it's like, oh, where's Timmy? He's getting his tonsils taken out. Oh, that's a bummer. That sucks. Yeah, but he gets to eat sherbet for 3 days. And you're like, seems fair. What if you removed my gallbladder? Could I eat In-N-Out for a week? Because I'd do it. Because that's what... how's my... let me get my mic is good. Can I walk around with my mic? Yeah. All right, I won't move. I like to sway when I talk. I feel like it makes my point. So... then they found out that taking your tonsils out was bad for you because somehow God knew what he was doing and you need your parts. I don't know how that works. Like, what? I'm just curious. And people don't get their tonsils out anymore, right? Yeah, my kids, I got twins that are turning 15 in a couple of weeks, and I didn't take their tonsils out. I did have my son circumcised. And then I had him sew it up in the back of his throat. Where... for later when he's eating pussy and she wants the ultimate. You know that thing where you can't decide, do I want dick, do I want a tongue? Well, you get both. I do like chicks who don't like their pussy eaten, though. I like that. It's good. It's noble. It's low self-esteem. I like it. Because chicks are worried about their pussy smelling. Guys never worry about what their dick smells like. Guys are like, I just stirred a vat of shit with my dick. Now get to sucking, bitch. Chicks are like, I did a soul cycle class this morning. I'm kind of worried about that. They say, by the way, I don't know. I had my son circumcised. I was kind of like, was kind of agnostic about it. I was like, I don't know. Should he do it? Shouldn't he do it? But a lot of chicks think the uncircumcised dick is weird. Yeah. And that's the last thing I want is the fucking chick thinking my son's dick is weird. I would take big, small, smelly, dog leg, facing Mecca. I'll take anything other than weird. You know what I mean? You don't want to have the girls talking to the girls. What was his dick like? It was weird. Also, the uncircumcised dick is like two different dicks because I've seen enough porn at the beginning of the porn. It's like, oh, that guy's from Europe. And then halfway into the porn, like, oh, that guy's from Iowa. Turn into a different dick in the middle of the porn movie. like a caterpillar and a butterfly. What were we talking about? We're talking about
laryngitis.
Laryngitis. And that's all I got to say about laryngitis.
Iguana.
What's that?
Iguana.
Iguana. Iguana the lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Don't give me the condescending yeah. Could be different things. Iguanas are, you ever see an iguana? Oh, they're awesome. You, by the way, if you ever go to Mexico and you ever take a cruise in Mexico and you get off the ship at the port of call, there will be a Mexican standing next to a giant iguana who would like to charge you money to take a picture with the iguana. And because you're drunk and stupid, you're like, oh yeah, my last picture of me and the iguana, I wore it out from staring at it too hard. I need a fresh iguana picture. And then you will go take a picture with the iguana. Iguanas are weird. All reptiles are weird because reptiles don't have a medium speed. They have not moving and on top of you killing you speed. Those are the two speeds. They don't have, you've never seen, like, no one ever went like, did you see that iguana jogging the other day? They don't fucking move, and then they move all at once, and they fucking kill you. That's how they move. I'm interested in creatures that have two speeds. They have not moving, and then 1,000 miles an hour. Like, no one has ever said, did you see that cockroach sashaying? Cockroaches either don't move or they fucking move. Do they fly here? Oh, you guys have flying cockroaches here? Oh, not here. If you tell, you do not kid about your flying cockroaches, because I gotta walk across the bridge back to the hotel, and I will put a fucking trash can on my head if there's flying cockroaches here. I will take the trash can in the green room, I will empty it out, and I will put it on my head like a deep sea diver if there is flying cockroaches. Because I can't take stationary on the ground cockroaches. Flying cockroaches. Oh, in Puerto Rico they're flying? What do we... Why do all bugs get scarier in different countries? You know what I mean? Like, you go like, you ever talk to people? They go like, oh, in Guatemala, the silverfish are 9 feet long and they rape you in your sleep. And you go, really? Oh, yeah. You know those pill bugs? Yeah. They're kind of cute, the pill bugs. In New Zealand, they're as big as manatees, and they fucking do carjackings. What happened to our bugs? Our bugs are fucking pussified, right? They just come here. Been waiting for those Africanized killer bees to come to Los Angeles for like 100. Been waiting about 14 years for those things. They never show up. There is that one. There's always that story where the Africanized killer bees, like, attack the farmer. They always attack farmers. I wouldn't have a farm just on the off chance that I'd be attacked by bees. I mean, they never attack publicists or tax prep guys. You never hear a story about... Africanized killer bees. Yeah, they attacked and killed the receptionist at a law firm. It's always a fucking farmer. What were we talking about? What was this one?
Iguanas.
Iguanas. Sorry. Iguanas, by the way, you ever see an iguana? You ever see iguana move? They drag their feet. They literally, like, they go like, ugh, fuck. Like, they're so uninto moving. There are a lot of them. Most of the iguana is tail. You guys know that? And you guys ever grab a lizard and the tail busts off? Yeah, it just busts off. And then, and that's how they escape, right? I have a theory about that. A lot of chicks who fight in the street, they all wear hair extensions. And we think it's to be glamorous, but I think it's because when they fucking throw down at spring break in Miami and the other bitch reaches for her ponytail, fucking they gets a handful of fucking press-on hair and then you go pow right with the wine cooler and the fucking kisser. That's nature, man. All right, let's do one more. Iguanas.
You're making Max kind of nervous.
Vodka.
Vodka. I like vodka. And my vodka soda. It's funny. I don't know. Is there a shame? I like drinking at the airport because... Let's face it, it's awesome to drink in the morning. But it's frowned upon. But once you get into the airport, you can fucking drink all you want. Like it's 7:45. Yeah, we'll get a Bloody Mary. Like I like that there's mimosas and Bloody Marys. Like I like that alcoholics came up with drinks for people to drink in the morning so they wouldn't feel like alcoholics. Like I'm not an alcoholic. I just had a triple Bloody Mary. It's almost 8. I drive a school bus. What's your fucking attitude? I like the airport because you get to drink in the morning. I was drinking on the plane here today, and it's so encouraged at the airport that if you order a drink at a bar in an airport, the guy wants to fucking upsell you, right? Like you go, give me vodka soda, and the guy goes, for another $3, we can make it a double. And you're like, yeah, you're right. Sun's been up for a full 45 minutes. You're right. I should be drinking more. That's just what you want at the airport. So they'll do that move where they upsell you. Do you guys bite on the upsell to make it a double? There's also, I do like the shot guy too. It's like you go, what do you got on tap? I always like when the guy who works at the fucking bar is caught off guard. He's got fucking 3 taps. You know what I mean? He's got Miller Lite, he's got Amstel, he's got Michelob. And you go, what do you got on tap? And he's like, oh, shit, I didn't know I was going to be quizzed. Hold on, let me turn around and look at these 3 taps that I look at for 9 hours a day for the last 26 years. Like, whenever you do that... What do you got on tap? Before you order, the guy should just be honest and go, we have a lot of beers on tap, but whatever one you're going to want, we're out of. I'm going to be up front with you right now. We got Mickey's Big Mouth. We got Mickey's Big Mouth flat. We got Mickey's Big Mouth warm. We got Mickey's Big Mouth that I shot a snot rocket into on tap. And we got Blue Moon. I'll take the blue. Oh, yeah, we're out of the Blue Moon. Has Mickey's Big Mouth ever been on tap? Some fucking hero ought to put Mickey's Big Mouth on tap. I do like the airport where you order the beer and the guy wants to know if you want a shot with that. That's a fucking hero. Vodka's nice because it's clear. You don't get judged because people don't know. You do know you're an alcoholic when you start adding alcohol to your alcohol. Like when you go, these White Claws are good, but they're not great. They would make them great. They're a half vodka. What's a bigger alcoholic move? Now, you got the White Claw, you got the Spiked Seltzer, right? It is a bigger alcohol, and you're going to add vodka to it, right? Okay. So we're like level one alcohol here, right? Like, all right, you're going to fucking take your White Claw and you're going to juice it up with some vodka. What is a bigger alcoholic move? You crack the White Claw and you dump out the first inch to add the vodka, or you chug the first inch to add the vodka? What is a bigger alcoholic move? Because I could make an argument for both moves. They're both... I get it, when you're drinking it, you're ingesting alcohol. It doesn't feel as desperate as dumping it, though. Never pour it out. I'm so right. Yeah, I will open a White Claw, dump half of it into a Ziploc baggie, then top it off with Smirnoff. You ever get one of those douchebags who thinks they can tell the difference in vodka? Oh, yeah, no, I like the Ciroc. I don't like the Grey Goose. It makes, oh, yeah, like you can fucking tell the difference. Like I did have a friend who did the, you know, he was the James Bond, you know, Kettle One, Dirty Martini, you know, shaken, not stirred. Like I don't want to bruise the vodka, like that fucking thing. He was a Kettle One guy. Everywhere we went, he was always like, where's the Kettle One? We got the Kettle One. Kettle One. I was like, we were at the airport. I was like, hey, douchebag, you don't know the difference between Kettle One and Smirnoff and Grey Goose. And he was like, oh, I absolutely do. And I said, all right, I'm going to tell the bartender at this airport bar to set us up a Grey Goose. And he just went right in the middle of it. He went, fuck it, I don't know. You're right. I think dudes do with vodka what chicks do with shampoo. You bitches got to order the fucking Pantene at $16 a bottle. Every time they do one of those news stories, the $4 Suave is exactly the same as the fucking Pantene. But you guys need the Pantene because there's something, you know, that the folks who test shampoo at the underwriter's laboratory don't know, because you think you're smarter than they are. And I think dudes may do that with vodka. We think we need the Kettle One. We think we need the Grey Goose. It's all just the fucking same. Might as well just go with the Smirnoff. It'll get you fucked up just as fast. All right, let's do one more. Mijaw. Mijaw? You guys want the three Mijaws? The Mijaws. All right, so the three Mijaws. I worked at the Man Show. I had a writer's assistant. My writer's assistant was named Adam De La Pena. And he was a Hispanic guy. But one of the good ones. He was fun. He was okay. I liked him. And Adam De La Pena was my assistant. He was my writer's. I couldn't type, but he could type. And we hired him. This story always makes me laugh. And tell your kids this story. We used to We used to interview writers, like, at the beginning of every season. It was like, hey, where are you from? Where'd you go to school? Show me some of your stuff. Adam De La Pena showed up. Me and Jimmy were just sitting in the office with Daniel, the guy who likes fucking Grey Goose. Can't tell the difference. And we're just sitting in there, and Adam De La Pena walks in. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It looks kind of funky, but kind of cool. And he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt to his job interview. And me and Jimmy and Daniel go, hey, where'd you get that Hawaiian shirt? And he goes, I sewed it myself. And we went, really? And he goes, hire me. I'll sew you one too. And we're like, you're in. You're in. You're on. You're hired. We hired him because he said he would sew us a Hawaiian shirt. So that fucking tell your kids. That's how work really works. Everyone wants to look at everyone's resume and everything. It does not work that way. You show up and you say you sewed your own Hawaiian shirt, like you're on board. We'll sign you up. We signed him up because he sewed his own Hawaiian shirt. But he turned out to be a funny guy and a good writer. And I called him Miho because I grew up on construction sites. I knew the sort of Latin flavor of Los Angeles. And so I would call him. So I would go up to the writer's room and I'd go, Miho! And he'd come running down. And then at some point, I came up with the three Mihos. And the three Mihos were as follows. It was him as a young boy, like a 14-year-old, living with his mom. His mom comes home from this grocery market. She's going to make Miho tripe or something, you know, a Latin dish, you know, enchiladas or something. She comes home at 5 in the afternoon. The sun's starting to get low in the sky. She walks in the front door, and the first Miho is her coming through the door and calling for Miho, signaling that she's home. So this is Miho number one. Door opens. Miho! Now, Miho number two is when there's no response to Miho number one. He's supposed to be home. His bike is in the driveway. Now she's walking up the stairs. She's a little nervous. Second Miho. Miho? That's the second Miho. Third Miho. She opens the door to his room. We just see his feet swinging because he's hung himself in the room. Third Miho. Miho! Yeah. There's a fourth Miho. There's a fourth. There's a fourth Miho. We added Mihos throughout the years. She had a fourth Miho. The Miho was at the funeral with the open casket when he's lying there wearing his suit that he wore for ninth grade graduation with the cross on the chain outside of the collar. And she leans over the casket. She kisses her finger, puts it on his forehead, and says, Miho. And there's actually a fifth Miho. The fifth Miho. By the way, this is what we... At a certain point, Jimmy would come upstairs and go, get the fuck back to work! Stop doing the fucking Mihos and write the goddamn bits. Because I would take the whole writer's room and tell them to gather around if I had to do the Miho. There was a fifth Miho that got added on, which is years later. Years later. The mom, who will never love again, just sitting outside on a park bench, old now, got some gray on the temples, feeding the pigeons. And at some point, a young 14-year-old boy goes by on his Schwinn that has the same hair in profile as Miho does. And for just that moment, she's transported back into that day when her son was alive. And she says, Miho. Those are the five Mihos. I usually keep it to three, but you deserve five. All right. Put your hands together for Tyler, the ball puller over here. And Gina and Jeff and Ball Brian. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast, Easy Listening. Bob Bryan on the podcast, The Film Vault. And me, Kalen, Matt, Gary, and Chris on The Water Cooler. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up tickets to see The Ace Man, books, movies, and more at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.